Welcome one, welcome all, step right up, ladies and gentlemen, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 73, coming at you right now. Howdy, everybody. Portal Gaming Podcast is a podcast brought to you by a store located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. You can check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at PortalGaming60. Howdy, everybody. My name is Brant, the Brant. Brant or the Brant. It's always the Brant, usually on here. And I am your host and dun-dun-dun-dun, back.
After a long delay, right?
Yes.
A long gap in there. Your co-host, Brian.
Yeah, it's been like pre-PAX Unplugged was like the last, like pre-PAX Unplugged. It's been many episodes, so welcome back, and happy holidays, everybody. We're gearing up here. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about our episode here. The title for episode 73 is, I present to you a gift, these two droids. I don't know if I'm referring to us with the droids part, but
we're the two. Yeah.
But I like that I present to you a gift, because we're going to talk about gifts. Which may be a little late, but those of you who haven't figured out all of your gifts, this will be good. Good to hear. And there's always returns and other things that people make and other things to look for. So we figure, hey, better now than never. So that's going to be kind of be the plan. Brian, tell us what's been going on. What's happening at the store? I see Santa set up in the other room here and sorts of excitement.
So in the time machine, so our main building, I guess, we've got... You know, lately this is our time of the year where it just gets crazy from Thanksgiving all the way through till Christmas. We've extended the hours a bit, and that's kind of spread me a little thin just to kind of not get as much gaming in. But I've been handling a lot of games, so it's not necessarily
does that count?
Yeah, I mean
play
it's
by
close.
Osmosis.
Yeah, we've had activities and such going on. Every weekend leading into Christmas, we've had like face painting, a balloon artist, caricatures, and we've had Santa come out, a visit from Santa, along with like there are like some layouts. If you haven't seen them at our store, they're, giant train layouts where there are some clubs that come in, they run them. Most of the year, they run those trains twice a month, but for the holiday season, they've been running it every Sunday from 1 to 4. And that's definitely impressive. Like it's huge. Like if you haven't really seen a train layout or you're expecting like an 8x4 sort of, it's much more impressive than like that. And the clubs just come in, they do an awesome job. Normally they're, working on it like once a week to make sure that it's good. Like they come in Thursday nights to touch it up and get it ready for the weekend runs. And then, like I said, like they'll come in, a lot of Sundays over the course of the year to really get people coming in and excited about that. So, that's always a huge draw, and even more so around this time of year. A lot of people come in looking for something to put like around their tree or something like that.
Right.
So, and trains are definitely more of a winter activity, but we carry them all year round. It's just, this is that peak season for them. So yeah, I guess I've been pretty busy with that. I know, like I said, gaming's kind of taken a back seat, but it's really cool. Like, I've been kind of in the family and party game section more so than, at the portal where we have the like next step up. But it's really cool to just, see people and kind of walk through that section, guide them through, and, introduce them to a lot of new games as well. Mm. And, a few people, it kind of leads to that, by the way, across the street we have this huge space for people to come in, play games, and just kind of promoting that community as well. So that's what I've been doing.
I think that's key though, like you're talking about family and party games, but like that's where basically we all started,
right?
Like a little bit, like for our age, we look at Monopoly, Risk, or Axis and Allies maybe as like, okay, these were like strategy or non-family, non-party games that we played. But for the most part, we all played family and party games.
Yeah.
And that's what gets us in to the hobby, or just playing games, whether you're in the hobby or not. And what's so cool is nowadays, there's just like, there's like you said, it's not just like, oh, here's this little bit of family and party games. Like, that's an entire almost genre of its own
right.
that you never even need to leave, and you have wonderful games available to you.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, there's no, like, oh, you play these, and then you move on to these strategy games, and then you move to heavy, like, that's not everybody's trajectory.
Right.
So, it's just so cool that you're not just saying, like, well, here's these eight family party games have been around since 1976. Just here, have at it, whatever you want. Right. Oh, they changed the color on the box, but like, there's all these great family and party games that are out now. And
yeah, I mean, they can be a stepping stone, but like you're saying, they don't need to be. And I don't know, like, the quality is definitely going up, but at the same point, like, those classic ones, like, people remember playing all sure. those, so they'll come in, you know, and look for, you know, the Monopolies or Risk or, you know, like, Operation Battleship, like, stuff like that. Like, they come in and, you know, that strikes a chord, too, and it's just, you know, it's impressive just to see how well it's been doing, you know, and just the activity that's been going on with it.
So tell me this. So we have something that we haven't had as much in December as often, which is snow, snow, snow. It won't be long before we're all in snow. White Christmas, Brian. White Christmas. Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, Rosemary Clooney, and that other girl that dances a lot. All right. Christmas movie. So, Christmas musical, in fact. You do know the song White Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay. Dreaming of a White Christmas. Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah. So we have snow. So that seems like that would be a good thing to me. Like, people would, not on the day that it snows. That's what you're looking at me. But just in general, doesn't that get people more like into the Christmas mood? And then it's like, well, it's cold out, so let's go shopping. Or do you think it's the reverse? Like, people are like, darn it, it's cold out. I just got home from work. I'm not going out.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's more the reverse. But
yeah,
I mean, so, like, it snowed on a Saturday for us,
yeah.
which is probably the worst yeah. day for it to snow from, you know, from our business end. But at the same point, I get, like, typically, if you know that that's going to happen, like, if people are aware that it's going to be snowing, it usually has, like the day before and the day after have a little bit more activity.
Mm-hmm.
But that main day where it's snowing, like, there's just not, it's not nearly at the level that it, you know, it should be. And then besides that, I guess, like, it really depends. Like, it's been really cold the past couple days, and I think that's more resistant. Like, people okay. would tend to, like, to not be as, like, active or, like, going outside, you know. But I guess it definitely changes the dynamic during the holiday season. Like, during this Christmas buying time, like, this window forces people to kind of go out. But I know, like, with all the competition, like, the... like Amazon and all that sort of stuff too. Like there's a lot more ease for people to just say, oh, you know, I was going to go, but it's too cold or it's snowing a little
click,
bit.
Click, click.
Yeah. Which, you know, is fine. It's just like, that's probably the direction that's going. And,
yeah.
and maybe that's where, I think that's why the events have been kind of more of our focus this year too.
Right.
Like we need to have stuff going on as a, you know, that bonus, like, there needs to be a reason for people to come in here, you know, just besides just for shopping. And, you know, if it's like, you know, face painting or like Santa coming down or like the trains running, like that's where this becomes a stop where people
mm-hmm.
can see stuff and they're doing something. And I know that's one of the biggest draws of the portal. Like, there's always stuff going on over there.
Right.
People are playing games, and that's a community center. So there is some incentive to, like, you know, go out there, play something, and, you know, even staying in there and not, you know, not going out. Maybe that keeps people in the portal longer if there's something, like some snow going on. But, you know, I guess it's kind of that mixed bag. Most of the time, snow does slow it down, like, and, you know, de-incentivizes, like, people from coming out here.
So we need, like, a foot of snow on a Thursday night into a Friday, so that way when people don't, like, have school or work on Friday, then they get, right, and then it goes straight to 50 degrees. So now there's the snow cover on the ground that looks like winter, but it's 50, and it's a Friday, so now, oh, now I just have the weekend, so I'm going out.
Like, do you like the snow being out there?
I do.
So maybe you just want it to be something exciting.
I just want it to be exciting. Other people don't want snow. Well, don't live in New England if you don't want snow. All right. I don't know. I don't want people to leave. So there's that piece. All right. Cool. Hey, look at us. We just talked about the store.
Yeah.
It's how a podcast, far back? Podcast about a store, and I don't think I've talked about the store in a long time. So that's that. Yeah, but definitely just recapping on that, like if you haven't come to see that train layout, it's totally worth your time and effort. Mm. It's great. Bring the family, bring the kids, and check out all sorts of other things. But yeah.
And besides, I mean, I guess even besides that, like it is still exciting. Like we carry a lot of stuff that we can't, like that people don't necessarily have access to elsewhere. So we try to be giving like those avenues for like the niche hobbies and all that sort of stuff too. So. And where else, like, what are you going to do if, like, a lot of times we've had people, you know, drive through, like, these crazy amounts of snow because they broke something on their, like, RC vehicle, and it's like they need, like, the props to, like, have something fly, or they need, you know, like, a spur gear, like, on the spot, and you can't wait for that, right?
Yeah, there you go.
So.
Well, and I think, too, the other piece is just the tangible, right? Like, and even just a toy store, a hobby store specifically, like you walk in, like it is fun, you know? Like I see that when I come in to get paper towels and I see people walking in. I'm just saying, if I run across the street from the portal to here or whatever, and people walk in and it's like, you know, the people that, you know, they're not coming regularly, and all of a sudden they just start looking around. Yeah. And I remember it last year when the Dice Tower crew came and they wanted to come and film, and I walked slowly and I kind of like took it in like it was the first time again. It's so neat. Even where there are toys at a department store and you can pick them up and shake them and look at them, it's just not as cool when you're standing in just kind of the aisles that look just like all the other aisles. But when you're in a toy store and it's just like toys, you know, wall to wall, it really is a fun, exciting experience that you wouldn't get online shopping where you're just kind of like customers viewed this and customers viewed that, but you're not getting that same experience of like seeing it and having it. So I think that's really neat too. So cool.
Yeah.
We should talk about games. Because apparently we're like a board game podcast on the Dice Tower Network. See how I got that.
Wait, is it a store podcast or a board game podcast?
I don't know. I think it's really a board game podcast.
Darn.
I always had aspirations that we would talk about minis and we would talk about like Magic with people, and we tried to play D&D like half of one time.
Yeah, it didn't stay.
And it didn't stick. So I've always had those aspirations that we'd do those things.
There's only so much time.
You know, if it surrounds around me, it's going to be about board games. So I did play video games the other night, and I went to Dave & Buster's. And I played, it's not DDR anymore, but it's some Prime Pump. I don't even know what it
is. Like it's a dancing game?
Yes. And lo and behold, 15 years later, still got it. I got straight A's. I think I did 4 of them, and I got an A on every single one. So
that was never my...
Oh, that's my game. So, all right. So, see, now
more games.
Now
we're back to...
Yeah. Should I start?
Video games. Yeah.
I should start. Okay. I have not played a lot either. I've replayed a little bit in terms of that. But I did get a chance to play the new Imperial Assault app that came out. So this allows you to basically play solo, I think is what most people think of it. You can play, you know, four people can team up, and you don't need a player to be the Imperial player, and you can kind of play co-op. I actually did once play it like that with Zephyr, so we played two player. So what's interesting here is it reworks the game. Like, it's really interesting because so many of the Imperial cards that give the Imperial player choice, it doesn't just, like, randomly pick a choice. It just tosses out whatever that was, and it randomly generates a special ability that you've never seen before. So, whereas Stormtroopers might have had a thing where it's like, oh, if they're standing next to another Stormtrooper, then they get an additional die, that power is completely out. Mm-hmm. And they'll just get a thing that says, like, oh, on this roll, they get +2 accuracy and +1 damage. Boom. Just gives them that automatically. And the tutorial's great. The tutorial walks you through like everything. It'll ask you, have you played Imperial Assault before or not? And it seems to adjust what it tells you, so it's not too over the top. It's still pretty fiddly. And what makes it fiddly is it lays down the map for you, and you go find those tiles, and it leaves doors. And then when you open the doors or you progress something, you see the rest of the map, which is really fun because it gives you that exploration element that the regular game doesn't have, but suddenly, if you're like me and you have multiple sets that are just all together, you're just digging for pieces and hoping the screensaver on your phone doesn't go on and you have to reload. And so that becomes kind of crazy. And suddenly you're like, oh, it randomly will generate enemies from your like pool because you can tell it what you own. Physical copies of, and then suddenly you're just like digging through your cards and digging through your models trying to find all those. So I've definitely, like, you've seen my table, my dining room table. I just had like a take it over, so everything was everywhere. So I did manage to play two in a row, like in 2 days, and then pack it all up again. I think I've now actually played three because I did the initial one and then the two in a row. And then for like character building, it's all in there. It very much streamlines all that. So you used to earn like experience points, and then when you got to so many, you could get a new ability. Now it's just your characters get a new ability after every mission. Okay. So you just boom, you just know that's going to be a thing. Like there's no, you earned this many points, and now you could decide. So some people might argue that gives you less choice, but it's fine. Like it's not a big deal, and there's more of a market to buy new items and whatnot. There's a couple things that are tricky that I didn't like. Like, there's the supply cards, and you draw them, and you can get coins from them or credits. But I don't know how to input that I drew credits, which is probably in there, and I just didn't realize. So I just drew a new card, even though I'd like to have the credits because I could upgrade my weapons at the end. And the story's all new. It's not the story from the original campaign or anything. It's its own story, which is really neat and brings in things. So I thought it was good. I played the third one, and it was very long. Like, it took me... So I think actually that first day I played one, and then I played half of this one and saved it, and then played the other half, although I wouldn't even say it was half. I probably played a third and then two-thirds. And that third one took me, like, 2.5 hours playing by myself. That was very long. Yeah, so that was a serious commitment. And I think some of that's just that fiddliness of finding everything and tracking... and rolling dice for everything, you know. But it's nice because I appreciate that it doesn't just say, oh, now roll the dice in the app. Now track the health in the app. Because then at that point, I'm just playing an app game. I'm not even playing. Yeah. At least it's just telling you what to do.
Right.
And then you're playing the game. And I appreciate that because I don't want to play an app. I just want an app that's just telling me what to do. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. So, yeah, so I've played through those three. It's progressing nicely. I don't think the arc is much further. I don't know that the story... goes on much further than this. There's definite story. There's all these story moments, which are great. A door opens, they stop, they read something to you. There's great sound effects. So it's reinvigorated. I cannot speak. I am like Tom Vassell today.
You can just edit all those out.
That's right. It has reinvigorated my playing of this game, sadly, all by myself.
Yeah.
It would be awesome. So like I played with Zephra, and she was okay with it. She said she'd play again, but she wasn't enamored. So it'd be great if it was like suddenly, you know, you were coming over to play with me and we were playing once a week and we're knocking two of them out and then two more and kind of that element, which I don't know that it's really ever going to get there. So it'll probably be exciting for me. And then maybe they release new content every few months and I can play those. I don't know what you have to purchase and whatnot and how all that works.
Okay.
But it's cool. It's good. It's a smart idea. I don't know what it is, but I'm kind of in that camp too. Like a co-op at this point in my life, a co-op campaign game is better than a one versus many campaign game where the other person has to track everything and know everything. Right. And you got to keep all the cards. Like this just keeps it all in there. You just bag them up and you go. And I don't know. It just seems easier. And to be working together is just more exciting.
Yeah, no, it definitely, it's picked up too. Like, The exact same thing happened when the Descent app came out. You know, like we couldn't keep all those expansions on the shelf once that came in. And the same thing, like the Imperial Assault stuff just keeps like we keep reordering it and reordering it and reordering it. John's been like, you know, on the ball with that, so that's been really good. But yeah, no, I enjoyed it a bit more like after the second time, but that was a long time. Like, I might try it again, you know, just see how it goes or whatnot. But
I think it's a better game with this app.
Yeah, no, for sure. But it's one of those ones where I could totally get into this if this was, like, the only game to be played, you know?
Right.
Like, it seems like that's where that would fall in for me. Like, if that was the game to play, then that would be fine. But with everything else that's coming out, it's tough to like commit. Yeah. And it's the same way with like any like legacy or other campaign style game. So
Yeah, that's
right. And I'm burning through those with like family. right. That's where I'm doing that. So cool. Well, that's Imperial Assault at FFG.
Oh, you want me to go?
that's how the format.
Yeah, goes, no, right? I know, but I don't have anything in depth to like. I feel like you've talked about most of them. There are three games that I can mention that I've played in the past. Like,
go for it.
All right. So Word Slam. Did you talk about that one?
I don't actually think I have. I think I talked about it in the Dice Tower.
Okay.
Con.
So we could start with that then.
Yeah, go with it.
Word Slam is a really cool team-based word game. You know, again, like one person on each team looks at a card and then have like a word that they're trying to get their teammates to guess. You sit on opposite sides of a table. You have these little dividers that, you know, give you room to like give clues. But that's like the bulk of this game is playing with those clues, which are a ton of cards that you just spread out in front of you. You know, like adjectives, nouns, verbs, that sort of thing. There are all these different things that are descriptive, but probably don't lead you immediately to the word that you're trying to get your teammates to guess. So you're putting all these clues up on these little card holders, basically. So you've got enough room to put maybe like 10 or so cards on there. Maybe a little more, I don't know. But you're doing that. Your teammates are shouting out guesses. As they're shouting out guesses, your opponents are doing the exact same thing. So you can kind of like base your guesses off of what your teammates are or what your opponents are guessing as well. So even if like the person giving clues for you doesn't really get to where like their line of thinking is different from yours, like you can still kind of figure it out based on how the group dynamic is playing. And I don't know, Word Slam has just been a hit every time I've played it. I played with my family on Thanksgiving, which was awesome. So, you know, and my parents have played a couple games. Mostly they were playing like classic card games and stuff like that. My brother and his girlfriend were over too. So, you know, we split up and just kept going. And we played till it was way too late for our son to be awake. I think it was like 10 o'clock and we were like, he should be asleep. He should have been asleep like 2 hours ago.
Slam!
But we kept going. He was having a good time just like sitting there, you know. Eventually, at the end of it, he was like, you know, playing with some cards and he shouldn't have, you know.
Passed out his own drool.
Yeah, no. He was there. My mom actually had him on one hand and they've got a little dog that always hops up on like her lap and everything. So it was like, Adon was on one arm and the dog was on her lap and she's, you know, shouting. She's trying to like give clues and everything like that. So
that's
it's
great.
Yeah. No, it went over really well. I think so we have that in stock right now, the Time Machine. It's tough, like you need to like it doesn't feel like it jumps out. Maybe people just don't know about it or haven't played it. I think it's
also a tough demo because the game doesn't really shine in one play or an explanation. Like, it has a metagame to it, right?
Right.
So the game is what you were saying. When suddenly you're on hour three of playing it, and you're realizing it's callbacks, and it's hilarious, and it's oh, you did this, and that was great. And even just, like, one team gets it, they high-five, and boom, everybody switch seats and starts again. Like, there isn't really, like, a post-game discussion. Right? Like, oh, and you said people kind of do that, but for the most part, like, the next person's ready to get in the driver's seat, go, go, go. Yeah. Like, and you just keep playing, and, you know, one round is 3 minutes or 5 minutes, boom, next round, 3 minutes, next round, 7 minutes. Like, it just goes, 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 goes. And all of a sudden, you look at your watch, like, what, that was an hour. Like, we were just guessing words and doing stuff. And also, I think the metagame is the, like, how you work with the words. So, like, do certain things become combinations? Can you jump them up and down? Yeah. Which I don't know what's illegal in the rules. I never actually read the rules. I just do illegal things. Or, like I know Alex from the Dukes of Dice talks about, like, building a pyramid with the cards for people to guess pyramid. Like, that kind of stuff, you know, that's, like, outside the box in the game that's so good.
But even still, like, it's just cool to try to get to, like, different points. And there can be rounds where it's a complete dud. You know, like, it can just be so frustrating that you're not getting this simple word, you know, and I could see that being a turnoff, but like you can just say, you know, hey, let's pack this round up and move over to the next one.
Yeah.
We don't think we're going to get it. I know like with my family, we were trying to guess like Ronald Reagan and it kept going like Donald Trump and, you know, like Ronald McDonald and like it never got to Ronald Reagan, even though it was like, looking back at it, it was really clear. Like,
you know, I think one person was trying to get people to guess a president, and I think that's where Donald Trump came in, and then, like, one person was trying to get us to guess, like, the Ronald, but then we kept guessing McDonald's stuff, and it was like, you know, like, that was great. I know when, like, the two of us, like, I remember playing at VonnerCon, and there was, like, one where it was, like, my favorite clue giving was, like, where I was trying to get people to guess leech, and it was like I put small water animal drink red man water, and that was just like the perfect way to get it to work, you know. So
that is good. I never think about like post game pictures, though, just the quick snap of what got people to get it.
So it's just it's a great game. I couldn't recommend it highly enough. Like, it's just Word Slam is awesome. So definitely try it out with any group.
Cool, go with another game.
I'm sure you talked about Dice Forge, right?
I did, but talk about it again because people want to know your opinion.
Yeah, no, it's basically just a dice crafting game. You're kind of adding, like, taking off sides from dice and adding the sides as it goes along to upgrade your dice that you'll be rolling every round. That's not really doing it justice, but it's like it's a really simple game. You're always rolling dice, trying to collect resources. And it'll go around like until like it's played X number of rounds and you've, you know, bought cards or is it cards? Yeah, cards for like points and one time effects and or, you know, new faces for your dice. I don't know. I think I had heard, like, you know, at first I was kind of down on, like, I didn't really want to play it all that, like, it didn't seem all that exciting to me. You know, I heard like one negative or like one mediocre review of it, and then it kind of fell off the wayside for me, but then it really picked up steam. Like, there was a lot more activity in the past few months just with people like asking for it at the store or just recommending it, and like I know you talked about it a little bit too, so I think I kind of changed my course where I was like, now I was anticipating it, you know, and I think my expectations were a little bit high for it.
Oh no.
But it was fine. I just, I don't, like, it's not one that I think, I don't need to own it, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at. So it was fun. I'm glad I played it. But I don't know. It just, again, like, I think it could use some, like, I don't know. It wasn't really, like, I don't know. It was fairly simple. And maybe it was just the player count that we were playing with that it was, like, it was a little bit, long, like the turn, like it went around, but like it seemed like at a certain point, like it just became pretty clear, like what you needed, like, you know, like you were just doing certain things that were kind of set, and it was fun, but it wasn't like I need to own this game style. So
yeah, but imagine if that game becomes Dominion and has 17 expansions.
No, that'd be awesome.
Like then it would have so like that's the biggest problem with the box itself. Mm-hmm. Was like you play it and you're like, oh, this is cool. Let me play with the other set of cards. Let me go back to the original. Oh, let me play the others. Oh, this is it. Now I've played the game out and I've played the two sets. So at that point, it just becomes, hey, let's just relax and play this, you know? That's what kind of makes that one exciting. But that is, Brian's going to quiet that phone for us.
The fax machine.
That is Dice Forge. Is that Asmodee?
Yeah, I don't know the publishing house within, but yeah, Asmodee is the main one. So, cool.
All right, I played Soul Last Days of a Star, and this is from Elephant Laboratories. And so I don't actually know because the theme here, because I jumped into the game after, like, basically they were starting playing, and I was like, oh, I'll jump in. I did play from the start.
You don't know the theme?
So the theme is, it's the last days of a star. I figured it out. So the board is circular and it's a sun, and there's a circular track going around the outside, and then rings that go concentric rings that go into the center. And so you start with a ship on the outside, your main ship, and basically it's a Euro game where you're trying to score points. Your points are called momentum. Because the idea is you need to build up momentum to escape the star before it explodes. So it's sucking everything into it, but you need to gain enough momentum to escape. The person with the most momentum wins. I was laughing at that because, physics-wise, we could both have enough momentum to escape. Or none of us could have enough momentum to escape. But nobody liked my science joke, so we move on. So anyway, so that's the idea of what you're doing. So on your turn, you have various different actions. And so you can move, or you can activate a space, and I think it was called convert to build a building, and then activate a building. And so there's all these spaces. We were definitely trying to figure the game out. Like, it's a big puzzle. And at first it just feels like, oh, I just do my own thing. And then you start to see the interaction in the game. So it's definitely a puzzle with decent high levels of interaction. And so what happens is you take your turn, then you move your ship up. So your ship keeps moving around the board. And what you can do is you can, on your turn, you can move, which includes being able to, like, spit out little fighters called sun divers from your mothership. And you can put them in these spaces, and then basically on your turn, you can convert them into buildings. So based on how they are, like, making a pattern. So if you have two side by side, you can build one type of building. If you have two up and down, you can build another type of building. If you have, like, kind of three in a column, you can build a different type of building. And so that's kind of how all of that works. So that's what you can do. You can convert your sun divers into these different buildings, and all the buildings have effects. And then the last thing you can do is you can activate those buildings. When you activate a building, you have to have a sun diver in that space, and you get rid of it. When you get rid of your sun divers, they kind of go in a pool, like, off the board. And then there's an action to gain more sun divers onto your own, like, personal area that you can then use to put on the board. So the different buildings that you can activate are, one gives you more sun divers, one gives you energy cubes. Another one, you can build gates, and the gates allow you to move through those rings. And if somebody uses your gate to move through or gateway, then you get an energy. And then one of them, just you could spend energy to produce momentum, so to get victory points. And then if you can get a sun diver all the way to the center, you can throw them into the center of the sun. They're permanently removed from the game. You gain two momentum, and you get to draw cards. And also when you activate buildings, you can draw cards. And these cards are interesting because you can only hold one card at a time. And there's a bunch of different ones. And there's, I think there's like 10 different types of cards in the box. So every time you play, it's a different mix of that, like, extra action you can do with the cards. And so that definitely is kind of interesting, but you can only ever hold one card, so you want to use that action quickly and get another one and go from there. So that's kind of how the game is going, and it keeps happening, and eventually out of those cards you draw these solar flares, and solar flares give you a point if you draw them, a momentum point, and when you run the deck out of solar flares, the game is over. So that's kind of where all of that goes. What's interesting on the activate action is you can activate all buildings of one type. So I can activate a whole bunch of energy-producing buildings, or a whole bunch where I convert energy into victory points. And so you use other people's buildings, and then when you use their building, they can use it. And so that's, like, the key part of the game. So Larry, who's playing with us, got it. He got that. Got a lot of points from doing all that. I did manage to end the game right on my turn and score a decent number of points and not allow him to make, like, one last big score where he would have, like, doubled our points. So I got close in score to him. So I liked the game. It was definitely one of those ones where, like, as we were picking up rules and understanding them better, I was going, oh, that totally would change what I did. But I didn't mean that in a bad way. I wasn't complaining and saying, like, oh, you know, oh, it's all your fault for getting the rules wrong and I'm going to lose. I really don't tend to care if I win or lose. I definitely want to win, or I want to understand what the game is doing. But it was one of these, like, okay, that's totally different. Based on that rule, we would totally do things different. Or, oh, you can do that. You can use multiple buildings. Oh, that makes sense why you would use other people's buildings. Because if you can only use one, you'd just use your own. But if you can use multiple in a single action, makes sense. So there were all those elements. What I worry about with the game, and I've only played it once, so it's silly to make this declaration or whatever, but I worry that it would become fixed. Like, oh, I need to build this building first, then that building, and then produce energy, and then get these, and then put the energy building in the center to produce the most energy, and just do that over and over and over and over and over again, and have the most points at the end. So I worry a little bit about that with the game, but there's a variable setup you can do, although apparently that's supposed to be like easy mode, so you're supposed to start with nothing on the map. So I'm not really sure, but it was a neat game. And I feel like it picked up. Like, at first I was kind of like, this is just so open and I don't know what I'm doing. But as I got it more and more, it was almost like, okay, I'd be willing to reset and do this. It took us closer to 2 hours. It feels like a game that I want to be 60 minutes. So I'd be intrigued with that. We weren't playing slow. Okay. By any means were we playing slow. We were getting rules long and looking them up, so that could definitely add 20 minutes. But it didn't feel like, oh, we're going to be so much faster next time. So I'm intrigued. But yeah, that package in that 60 to 75 minute could be really good, like a whistle stop or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So that's Soul, Last Day of a Sun. Last Days of a Star from Elephant Laboratories. Finish us off, Brian.
Yeah, the last one that I can mention is Civilization: A New Dawn. I'm sure you must have talked about this one.
We did.
Yeah, so I'm not going to go into depth on it, but I just wanted to give you my, you know, my initial impressions. It was a fun game. We played 4-player, which seemed like it was, you know, we were kind of learning the game as it went, and you know, there were definitely parts where we were calling you over to kind of explain some rules or whatnot. So I feel like, you know, it definitely rewards those repeat plays or whatnot. And again, it seemed like we were playing suboptimally to start, or, you know, we were just playing a different style of game than it's always intended to be, you know, for the first portion of the game until it switched over to, you know, all this attacking and combat, you know, and it felt like the civilization aspect of it was less of the focus at that point. And it was like, whatever was established during that first chunk was really giving one person like the access to just run away with it or whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like that multiplayer solitaire feel until it completely shifts gear and it's not like that at all. And again, like, we only played Civilization: A New Dawn like the one time, so I feel like there would be more of that like recognition as far as how the game is going if you played it, you know, multiple times. So I guess just real quick, like, it was fun with the one play. I want to test it out again. I don't know if it's one that will stay there for me, if it, you know, if that second half of the game really left a somewhat bad taste in my mouth. So again, if it does get more solidified, like, if it's, you know, if you can recognize how the game is progressing from the very beginning to the very end, then I think it's got, you know, I think it's got some legs enough to at least, like, you know, to play it, you know, a few, you know, with my wife or just, mm-hmm. you know, with different groups and such. So I liked it. I don't know how it'll look going forward, but it's definitely worth a try. And I don't know, it had been a long time since I played the other, like, the Civilization-style game, that like the first one in that. And it felt really different from, like,
yeah,
from that game. So right. it's a new, there are new dynamics here, and it's, I guess there are a lot of other games that kind of fit into that board progression, you know, like, mm-hmm. that sort of Civilization-style game. I wonder how it fits into there. I guess the positive is it can be really quick depending on,
right.
you know, how well you know it. So I think that gives it like a bit of a leg up on something that's going to take like the whole night or yeah. something like that.
Right. No, it definitely plays quick. My things where I worried about like repeat plays, like it almost becomes less interesting
mm-hmm.
because those cards are like really cool at first and I've got all these options and then all of a sudden I've played them all out.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of where that doesn't come inside. But there's mechanisms in that game that are so good. Like, take this and put this into something else, you know, and I'm super excited for that. But
yeah, I think I wanted, what are, like, the monuments? Or are those the ones that...
Seven Wonders? Or the
Wonders?
Wonders of the World?
Yeah. I wanted those to be a bit more...
Epic?
Like, I wanted that to give you more of a direction.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like it was intended to be that. Like, it was, and it felt like it was more intended to be an added bonus rather than this is giving you a whole new, like, whole new legs for the game.
Yeah.
And I don't know, are there a lot of, like, end game
cards? No, there's only 5 of them.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Like, it felt like out of the ones that we had, there were, like, some that were, like, really easy and others that were really difficult, you know, and some, like, the Wonders end game
options were just like, get two of this style, which felt kind of boring, but...
In classic FFG style, what's going to happen with this game is we're going to talk about it. We're like, yeah, that was really fun. That was neat. I played a couple more times. It was okay. I wish this, that, the other thing. And then, like, right around Gen Con next year, they're going to release an expansion that gives you five more of these and wonders and that. And everybody's going to get reinvigorated. Like, oh, let's try it with all these possibilities again. You know what I mean? Like, that's it's totally ripe for one of those expansions. It's just like, more of that, more of that, more of that, more of that, more of that. Oh, and this one new thing, right? Like, it could totally be one of those. So maybe that'll kind of...
Because had you been even mentioning, like, did you, like, was it you? Did you say, like, you wanted, like, a custom deck for, like, the player powers?
Oh, yeah.
Like, stuff like that would be awesome.
That'd be so good.
I think that's where...
nationality, and then you have certain things you can do. It would be amazing.
Like, I think that's where... That's where I want something like that to go, rather than, like, this... Like the bonuses for the player, like, the characters that you're... Like your leader... were kind of minimal, like it wasn't a huge added value, you know, like you kind of picked your progression based on not even the upgrades of the cards that you've got, but like I guess kind of sort of like it didn't really feel like anything became significantly different until like that very end part, and like that was really just like, oh, this person advanced this technology all the way up, whereas this person advanced this one all the way up.
Yeah.
So it didn't really feel like there was enough. Like, I wasn't starting from point A and, like, someone else was starting from point B. We were all starting from that same, like, a very similar point A.
Yeah. No, and that asymmetry that would be so great is what's kind of in the other version, but also what makes the other version 4 hours long.
Yeah.
Right, so it's like you want the asymmetry of a four-hour game, but the package of a 90-minute game.
Right,
but that formula is very hard to create. Mm-hmm. Right, like that's what makes those games that are 4 hours. And then it's easy to say like, well, this one was neat, I'd rather play the other one, but then the other one's 4 hours, so I don't play it. So it's like now it becomes that ground of like, which one is the one? You know, am I going to play the one that isn't as satisfying but plays in 90 minutes so I can play it more often, or am I going to try to figure out the other one but not really get it to the table?
But I guess, like, thinking about, like, Civilization games that I've played, like, I know it's not necessarily classified that, but Roll for the Galaxy... feels very much like what I want from, you know,
yeah,
like
lots, yeah, you
that
start
gives you start a new totally like a starting different. Direction that like you're working off of that's different, but it's not necessarily like it's not always game breaking, like between what I do, maybe it'll give you benefits for doing specific things, right, or like different dice, but it's not like this person is just going to win because they have this, right? And then it goes along and you decide where you want to go, if you want to just, like, you know, get a ton more dice, or if you want to really change up how you're playing the game. Like, you have those options. And I think that gives you those paths without, like... I guess that's just that nice, like, that nice package. That might be why it hits so well for me, because it's not one of those games where you just... You can pick anything and go any path that you want. You can basically play the game before you've started playing the game. It doesn't do that, but it also brings you to a different trajectory yeah. than everyone else.
And I think for me, like, my enjoyment there in that genre is through the ages, which does start the players exactly the same, but just by the sense that there's one card of basically most types, two player specifically, there's just one card. Well, as soon as I grab that, it's now not available to you. So that player interaction leads to us creating, just the game just makes you create asymmetric, you know, with no option. Right. Oh, darn it. Like, you blocked me. Like, oh, I'll just go this route now and I'll go this route. Of course, you're constantly adapting that. You're not kind of like, here's my path and I'm just going to follow it now. You're like, oh no, now I have to veer to the right. Now I have to veer to the left. I love that. Because that player interaction is higher in that game than Race for the Galaxy. Also a bigger game, you know, more grand scale.
Yeah, but I hate, like, I don't like when games solve the, like, that path, but, like, you know, like, if Through the Ages just laid all the cards out and said you could pick any, you know, some games do that, and they give you, like, everything to, like, right off the bat, and I think that's where, like, I don't like that, and I don't want to, like, I don't know, so I guess that, like, it's, that one does have a positive from it, you know, and it's... it's tackling it a different way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I guess that's nice. It's just not.
C'est la vie.
Yeah.
To each his own. Awesome. Well, that's what's been on our table. Let us know what's on yours. All right, so for some, I think, relatively quick discussions, I don't think this is a long thing, but we just wanted to do a holiday gift-giving idea kind of guide, games, toys, awesome things we've seen, whatever it is, and just kind of chat some stuff up, even off the top of our heads, for the most part. So, Brian, this is kind of one of your ideas, so why don't you kick us off with some of the things you've seen around. You do happen to work at a toy store, so you should have some good ideas for us.
Yeah, no, so we've got, we brought in, like, a lot of, sorry, I'm trying to read what you're,
don't read it.
Don't read what you're writing. Yeah, we've been bringing in a lot of games, and ahead of the season, we definitely tried to load up on specific titles just to, like, you know, either, like, we thought we were going to do really well with them, or, like, the manufacturer was really trying to promote it, and we agreed that, you know, the games were really solid. I guess the main one that's jumping out, like, Codenames. There are so many different styles out there for it, from Czech Games Edition. Like, it's just and USAopoly now. Like, they kind of, CGE and USAopoly have kind of they've kind of joined up and added a lot more, like a few games like Disney and Marvel. Not to read what you've got on your list. they've given those ones as like an entry point for people that don't necessarily want to like hop into it, because I ran into this exact problem with someone else. Like, I was trying to like tell this woman how great Codenames was, and it's kind of a tough sell to start off, and I'm like trying to like put out this excitement of like, oh, you've got teams and there's a grid of cards, and like you're trying to get them to guess words, and like it just was like it kind of fell flat, and I knew as I was saying it, it's like I've lost this person from the game, you know, and it's like, darn it. At least I told them about Word Slam and some other stuff too. Like,
well, Codenames is like that even when you play the game the first time. You're like, oh, we're going to do this, and then you're trying to do that, and then, oh, this
it's
is
so exciting,
cool. And
then,
okay, ready? Yeah, I'm ready. Let's go. Let's play. Oh, yeah, no, I'm thinking about the first clue.
We are playing this game.
Oh, okay, I'm ready to guess. What am I guessing? No, I need like 3 minutes to think, like to look at the whole board. And so it's funny, I almost tell people like, okay, now everybody go get drinks, come back while we think of all the two of us. Like, you're going to kind of have to have some in between in those 3 minutes to get everybody set.
So yeah, no, it's just, it's awesome. Like, it's a really fun game that has worked well. It's just, it's a tough one to really get into and tell people about. I know, so Codenames, the first one came out, and then they've really progressed. Like, Codenames Pictures is, you know, is another avenue where people can kind of get excited about something, and I found that to be a better version for, you know, younger, like, high schoolers or middle school, like, that age group.
Yeah, definitely.
And then Codenames Duet, which is just the two-player version, which is awesome as, like, you know, as that two-player word game.
Do you play with Rachel?
Yeah.
And we are so bad, Kathy and I.
But you knew that going in, right?
I am the worst. I make too many big leaps, and I always want to do four. I have no desire for two.
Yeah.
It just feels like I gave up.
Yeah.
I just have that go big or go home mentality. That, oh, it screws us up all the time. But it's fun.
Yeah, no, so we brought in a lot of code names, and it's one that, because one of the things that I'll always start off with, I don't even really know if it's true, but everyone says it's password, like it's password in a box, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of taking everyone's word for that. So that's where I'll
advanced
start off with.
Password,
yeah, right. But it's like kind of that direction. At least people know, like a starting point. Even though I don't really know, you know it myself, but I can kind of start off with that. Have you heard of password? And if people have, then it's an easier introduction and kind of describing it that way. If they haven't, then it kind of runs into the same problem that I explained earlier, where it's just like, I want to be excited and show you this excitement, but it's not going to come out in the words that I say.
Right.
So,
well, along those lines, I've just had a lot of people like, oh, my friend at work wants to find a game, you know, for their sons or whatever. So, you know, what would you recommend? And I find there's just like three games that I always just right off the top of my head. King of Tokyo, Ticket to Ride, Pandemic. Like those three always. And then I explain those three really quickly. King of Tokyo is Yahtzee, except you're fighting each other. You're monsters, you know, famous monsters fighting each other. I guess they're not famous, but whatever.
But you could say like King Kong and guys like that sort of stuff.
So you just say, and they're all just fighting each other, and it's structured on Yahtzee, so it's easy to learn. And then Ticket to Ride, I say, is just a great game. It plays great with two. It plays great with five. Like, people just love that game. I don't know what it is. I don't know why trains are exciting to people. I don't know why a map is exciting to people.
That one's a little more difficult.
But it always goes over well.
But to, like, describe it, like, if you really get into the, like...
Set collection, yeah.
Right, but then it kind of goes like, oh, you're trying to, like... You have to, like, be quick on that one,
I don't explain a lot. Yeah, I just say, yeah, you have these tickets, and you're trying to connect here to here, and you draw cards, and you have to match the cards, and then you place trains out on the board, and you get points for, like, a whole bunch of stuff you do. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Like, that's it, right? You're drafting cards, whatever. And then Pandemic, I just always sell as a cooperative game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, now there's games where they're cooperative, so you could sit down. If you have that... you know, kid in your family or that person that gets really mad when they lose, play a cooperative game with them. And then you'll all be mad when you lose. You know, and Pandemic just seems like the go-to still. I mean, you could do the Forbiddens or you could do something lesser for younger kids, but basically Pandemic's where I go. I always think Deck Builder, and you kind of think Dominion for that, or Legendary if you know somebody's really into like Marvel, but now that's Clank to me. You know, Clank has the board. It's definitely more advanced, but I feel like you throw it at people and... you know, and they'll do okay. So those are kind of my like go-tos.
Yeah.
Still,
Smash Up is a good one too. To like just say you can be ninja dinosaurs and then play over that. You know, like,
people are ready.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's it. And then the first time they're ninja dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Because you said that.
So
cool. Yeah, it's kind of games. How about outside the realm of games? What have you been recommending to people around the store?
Uh-oh. You kind of threw me off guard.
Or do another game. That's fine.
No, we've been, I guess it's just a mix. Like, we've got all these different avenues, you know, like trains or whatnot. Like, those are always, you know, big this time of year. But besides that, we've got, like, all the, like, remote control stuff where, you know, drones have really taken on, like, a lot, you know, either positive or negative. You know, like, there's been a lot of visibility with that. And, like, what you can, like, mostly we do that as, like, a... you can fly it indoors and have like this, you know, this cool little thing that you're flying around, beating it up into walls and whatnot. And if you want to go toward, you know, something where you've got like, you know, you're watching the flight from like the cockpit basically and going like FPV, like the first person view, mm-hmm. you can do that with, you know, with these sort of things as well. And it's really like that technology is just going crazy too. So it's been really cool to see all that. I know, you know, besides like the games, we've got a ton of different areas. Like, you know, if it's like science kits that, you know, really give that educational side of things, or
what's been your like unexpected sale this season? Like, what's been something that is there anything, or is it since the store is very
so,
hobby oriented?
So the Lego Boost. I don't know if you've seen. Did you see that?
No.
If people know of Lego Mindstorms, like this is like a programmable Lego kit, right? Like, so the Mindstorms have been around for a little while,
mm-hmm.
but the entry point for that is pretty difficult. Like, it's $300 or $400 to get this full kit of,
gotcha.
You know, where you go through and you program everything out and do all that sort of stuff. Lego came out with like a new, like a lower price point recently, the Lego Boost, which is like $160. You've got five different things you can build in the kit, like a robot, a cat, a guitar,
huh.
or like some cars, or, you know, like stuff like that. You need an iPad, but once you get that, you can sync it up to like this thing that you've built. And it's a really cool introduction to like programming. You can put in like all these different lines of like code. You can make it move around, spin, you know, do like all this sort of stuff. You can have it sing or dance, or, you know, you can record like your own audio. Like, you can put up like something that you've said yourself, disguise the voice even if you want to, and put it into this line, and you can have like all these different codes going at the same time. So you can just have it set so it's like one's making it like sing while it's like another one's dancing and all that sort of stuff. So there are a lot of cool things that can be done with that. I know that's been pretty cool. Like, you know, most people that see it, like, we've got a demo up at the front register, The batteries are really running low, but you guys don't care about that. We'll change them by the time this airs anyway.
This is what a manager thinks of
me. But it's right at the front of the like right by the register. And, you know, people, it catches their eye, and then it's like, oh, you can also do this with it. Like, you know, like they see it as the robot Lego kit. And right. then that next step is, by the way, like, this can all move and right. do function, you know, like, cool. And it's like that intro to programming. I guess I've said that a couple times, but, but again, like it's like $160 and Lego kits themselves are not inexpensive. Right, so it's basically like you're getting like a big Lego kit, you know? So I know that's been doing really, really well. We were kind of expecting it to, I don't know. We were expecting it to do well. Like we put in like this huge order at Toy Fair way back when, because we have to put, like, Lego needs to be basically ordered then. I know they've been gotten a lot better, or they've gotten a lot better about it, but we put this order out then, and we've had them coming in, like, in waves, and it's just been, you know, it's been more of that talking point than, like, a selling point, but I think it was still early in the season when we were really getting a lot of that talking about it. Like, we were doing that, and I think we've had a decent amount, like we sold a decent amount since, you know, since Thanksgiving, basically.
Nice.
So, yeah, that one's been really cool. I don't know. Do you have any, like, the crazy errands, thinking putty?
Yes. Like those. I have some in my carpet. No, yeah. It's great, though.
But those are, like, those do really, like, that's one where we got a ton. Like, we started doing it last year and then sold completely through, like, you know, nice. Before Christmas even hit last year. So we really restocked and made that more of an effort this year. Besides that, I mean, we've had a few areas where we've really focused, but, you know, I don't know, like the slot cars have been doing really well for us too. I know those ones, you know, people don't necessarily come in expecting to, you know, get a slot car set. Mm-hmm. Some do. Some, like, a lot of times it's really, like, they see it and they remember, like, all these these courses that have been around or whatnot. And we've got, like, a demo set up. It always gets beat up, but it's still going, at least one lane. But we have, you know, a few different points. Like, you know, there's, like, an entry level, there's an intermediate, and then an advanced. So you've got options there, mm-hmm. and you can really grow with it if you want to, or just kind of one and done, like, get something and play with it and have fun. So that's cool. Done well. I guess.
Yeah. I'll jump in on the stocking stuffer end. So I know, like, for my daughter, just small thing, but, like, Pop Rocks, she's all about, that's up front in the whole candy section, but you laugh, but, like, you don't recognize, but, like, people don't have Pop Rocks anymore, and you have Pop Rocks. So it's totally, like you said, it's like walking in and you're like, oh, this is from my childhood, you know? Yeah. And she loves that too. Her childhood right now. And then the Schleich setup, all the Schleich animals, the little farm animals. Like, obviously we've been collecting those for her, but, like, I just think that display is awesome. And, you know, that just hits, like, the kid who's into, like, farms, or the girl, the boy who's into, like, horses, or just general animals. My daughter's got, like, a big farmhouse that her great grandfather built her, and she just puts all of them in there, so she's just collecting, like, families of them, you know. But there's also, like, Smurfs and fantasy characters, unicorns,
superheroes,
that I think that section is just really cool, like, when you get down to it, and the detail on them is pretty nice for, like, the price point, you know.
Yeah,
I think they're pretty neat, so that's a cool, like, kind of stocking stufferish.
So if you're excited about that, next time we need to order it, I'll let you organize the shelves and everything.
Yeah, that
sound good.
That's gotta be right.
There's so many horses in that.
Yeah, there's a lot of horses there.
I wish I knew more to, like, you learn a lot by setting it and, like, ordering stuff. It's like, I know so many more horses and everything now that I've done that display.
Yeah, another thing that's really cool that I know you've had here, but even just in general, like not really the art area, but there's the, like, coloring books and, like, the paint. Like, there's, like, almost, like, the adult paint by number. That sounds bad. Like, you're painting inappropriate things. No, there are paint by
numbers that work for all ages.
Yeah, for all ages. There it is. That's cool. And then I really like these paint by sticker.
Okay.
So it's, like, you get all these different geometric shapes, and you basically make mosaics.
Yeah,
you can build. So then it's kind of a couch activity, right? Like, you're sitting on the couch just kind of relaxing, and you can put the stickers on one piece at a time. And even though you can already see, like, oh, this is going to make a leopard or whatever, when you actually get the colored stickers on there, it just has that cool effect.
Yeah.
And I feel like those are pretty neat, like, little elements. So I feel like that whole section there could be easy for kind of people to walk by, but there's lots of cool activities that, you know, it's all kind of in that same vein of, like, coloring, creativity, painting, but, like, there's lots of different ways to go about it, kind of suit needs. So I think that's a good section that I've looked at. So I just have one other thing that I'm obsessed with.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Though we barely carry it. We have one copy. You can tell them what it is.
Well, we did on the last episode, too.
Oh, darn it.
But I've been playing Drop Mix, like nonstop. It is awesome. And we talked about the last episode, but I know there's a copy here at the store. So, you know, it's a decent price point, but it's an amazing piece of technology in terms of that. So just recapping from the last episode, but, like, basically you just have this Bluetooth board that you hook up to your phone or your iPad with an app, and then you get a whole bunch of cards, and the cards are various parts of tracks of pop songs. They have rock songs, hip-hop, and there's electronic is the other category. And you get the drum beat from this song, the bass from this song, the lyrics from this song, melody line or whatever it is. It's just super cool. And I have now played the game. I had actually not played the game. I'd only just mixed because it's so fun to just mix everything. And the game is nowhere near, like, mind-shattering. But it's good. Like, it's getting you to do the things you want to do. So the co-op one, the, like, party play, is just like a speed game. The audience requests a blue card, which is usually a drum, and somebody has to throw one down. And they all have an intensity, 1, 2, or 3. So you can only play a card if it's of equal or higher intensity. So once you get a 3-intensity card on there, you limit your options. And then sometimes you have to hit the drop mix button, which will remove cards. So that's how you get to remove cards. And you're trying to, like, speed through and do everything the audience is requesting. But sometimes there's multiple, and you got your whole group with various cards. And then the clash play, you can play 1v1, 1v2, 2v2, 1v... I don't know, whatever it is. All the ones. And that one is you get two actions. So your action here, you can play a card, or you can hit the drop mix button to make them remove their cards. And you score a point when you play a card. If it's a different color than the other cards, you score points. And when you play the game, the board actually has colored slots. You have to put them in the right slot. If you just free mix, you can do whatever you want. You can have 5 vocal tracks going on and just grab your head and freak out. But it's cool because the game, you can change the beats per minute, speed the song up, slow it down. You can change the keys for the songs. It auto-tunes everything together. It's really quite impressive. So that's just been a really awesome... that's going to be our, like, constantly played holiday thing, so.
No, I wish that was easier for us. Like, we have to sell it. You know, it's way too high for what we'd have to, like, what we have to sell it at. Right. We have one copy. I don't think we can keep bringing it in unless, like, there suddenly is a change in how internet stores are doing it, because we're buying it more than people can sell it. Or, like... You know, we're buying it for more than it's sold at on Amazon.
If it does, right. But if it does, that's terrible.
Yeah. How much is it, like...
But if it does pick up, I could see, I don't know what your availability is to the packs.
What's it cost online? Do you know?
I think it's usually either 85 or 90.
Oh, maybe I was just thinking places. So the Cyber Monday.
I got a huge deal and got it cheap.
So, like, okay, so maybe it was just that one instance. Like, you bought it for less than we would buy it for from our distributor.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's weird.
And, so it cost us, like, $75, and it retails at, like, $100.
Yeah.
So it's, like, even if we brought it in and we were selling it for, like, competitive pricing, it doesn't make sense to do, you know? I know, well, like you're saying, right,
they're just not trying to favor small stores,
right? No, and like, they don't need to. They're just doing their own thing, and it's frustrating, but it happens. I know, like, Hasbro's one of the ones that can really dictate that. I know, like, you know, Lego's tough too, but it's like they're doing a lot better to, like, really regulate, like, what stuff is going for. I feel like they're, like, we can sell it pretty much in line with what other places are selling Lego for. It's a worse margin for us, but it's still, like,
agreed. Yeah,
decent price.
If a Lego is 40 here, it's 39 online.
Right.
Right. So it's,
whereas, you know, the drop mix, it's like really fluctuating. And as soon as you told me you could get it, you got it on Cyber Monday. Like, it's like, okay, well, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So
I didn't even know it was something you could carry when I purchased it, which is why I just went out.
That's why you bought it.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was something that would come here and just, that was a whole PAX Unplugged conversation with people that this thing is awesome. And then I saw the push right after, so I had just been talking about it with people at PAX Unplugged.
You had mentioned highly to me there you were looking for some of those smaller packs.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever got back to you, but we can bring them in. They just, we have to bring them in like 12s or like case packs.
Gotcha.
So it's like,
so you need to see some.
We'd have to have enough people. Yeah. We'd have to bring in enough of the base game, which doesn't make sense for us to like sell these small upgrades.
Yeah.
And you know, like, we can't really win them all, but it's fine. Like it's just, I'm glad that you're enjoying it. And
I think it's a niche thing anyway. So, like, I wouldn't even talk about it as a game. Like, oh, if you're a gamer, you should try this. I don't even know if that's true. I think it's the music end that's really hitting me, right, on that musician piece. But it's just a fun activity, you know, either way. Even if it's on the podcast, it's not. Okay, find the portal, buy their one copy, convince them to bring in more, support them in that way. I don't, or Time Machine in this case. I don't think that's so much it. Just, hey, if this game is somewhere around you, go check it out. You know, it's a pretty neat thing. And where will that technology go? That we do, because this stuff exists. You can buy equipment and do all these things already, but like it's so at your fingertips, you know, to be able to do that. So it's just a cool activity. Think of it as an activity.
Yeah, but we got so many of those.
That's true. Yeah,
like concept, like that's one that I can always just say, like, that's a really cool activity. You know, even something like Dr. Eureka, like we've got the demo set up for it and it's really accessible. Like that's kind of an activity. It's a really good game.
Mm-hmm.
Based on an activity, like it's, I mean, I guess I don't sell it as an activity, I sell it as a game.
Sure.
But it's that logic puzzle that kind of creates the, like, you know, it's that active part, that engaging part.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I know, like, you know, a few others from, like, Blue Orange have been really cool, too. Like, we just restocked a ton of King Domino. Like, that's been, you know, just going crazy. Like, one's a tough one to, like, get people excited for, unless you get them to play it. Like, I think that's key. It's awesome. Like, it just won the, like, Spiel des Jahres.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really thing. Like, we can really promote that as well, which is awesome.
Yeah, this is the game of the year, right?
This one game of the year in Germany, and that's a huge deal for all these games to win. So that's on the box now. Like, they've put the packaging on there, and I think they understand and recognize that that's a key for them to really promote it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, besides that, like, I know Haba has a ton of really great stuff as well. Like, we restocked, you know, most of that. Like, Rhino Hero is one of their solid ones, Animal Upon Animal.
I bought Orchard on recommendation, so...
Is that for Christmas?
Yeah, so I haven't played it yet for my foster daughter.
Okay, yeah, I just played it again the other night with Adon, so that's...
I'm excited.
Yeah.
We may actually do it because she visits us. We may actually give it to her when she's with us and keep it at our house to play when she comes over rather than give it to her, depending on how she, you know, how it all goes.
Now it's like, now I feel pressure that, like...
No, it better be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, big time. Otherwise, you know,
we're done. That's
it. I'm going to go buy 10 drop mixes online. All right. But I think kind of to bring this all, like, we were kind of talking about the store at the start and now back at the end. And I think that's what this, you know, doing this gift guide is really neat to see, like, highlight some of these things. You know, we didn't run through, oh, here's 50 things, but we highlighted some of the things unique to this store. These things, slot car, you can come in and you can demo that and see that. Drones, you can see the various technology. So I think that's what's really neat. The Schleichs, you can see the handmade display that Brian does every morning when he comes in for 3 hours early in the morning with his coffee. and you could see all those things. So, you know, so maybe you're looking for those last minute things and stop by and check that out and whatnot. So
did you, the one last thing, like Thames and Cosmos has also come out with the exit games, which we have like a full display of in a separate spot. And that just, that draws people's attention right in. And that's awesome.
Yes.
We have. So,
and
like,
those are awesome.
Yeah. Those games, did they won Kenner Spiel?
Yeah.
So those, and we just got in like the three new games. So we have six different ones in that style, and it's like, it's right in the front area, and people are walking up, you know, as they're leaving the building, which kind of makes sense. I don't know who put it up there as like the exit sign, but the exit games from Thames and Cosmos are really great. Like, the one thing I always want to be sure that people know, it's like a one shot
for the most part. I'm sure you could kind of customize it, but most of them are you play it once and you've changed, like cut stuff up or, you know, done stuff to change what's in the box.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing where there's like a little bit of that clarification, but even if like people just, if they play it, I don't think they're going to be disappointed with it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a funny thing. Like, I feel like maybe because it looks like a game that throws people off, whereas if it looked like something that you're supposed to cut up,
right?
If it looked like an activity, like if it came this in shrink wrap, right? You could see through it, and it was like it came in something that looked very disposable. Maybe it would make more sense, but like the price point is $15-$20.
Yeah,
like at that, you just can't beat it. At that, it's so good. It's a great $15 activity, even to do it once. You know?
Yeah, there are so many in that avenue too. Like the Unlock series is great.
Yeah.
We have a ton of those at the Portal, and then, you know, we got in, like, the other, like, the Escape Room, the basic one in a box, and the Think Fun Escape Room games as well. So, that's another cool thing that's led into...
I won't give my review of the Murder Mystery expansion for that.
You didn't like it at all?
Oh, it was very not good.
For which? The Think Fun? One for Think Fun?
No, Think Fun is great.
Okay.
The Escape Room, the game, all four in there are great. One was a little tricky. The Funland expansion was fun, and the Murder Mystery expansion we did not like.
That makes me want to play it.
I just found it frustrating. So gotcha. Anyway, all right.
I
think we should wrap this up. What do you say?
Because everyone's bugging us to play games.
Yeah, because we're here. I am excited. So just at the store now, Charterstone, Agra, Gaia Project, Majesty. What else did I see over there? Like, tons of awesome stuff.
Magic Maze, we just got restocked. Yeah. Otis.
Cry Havoc. Is in?
Yeah.
Cry Havoc Aftermath. I can't. I have to just not.
Not
but
look.
There's so much.
But you want to play it all.
So much I want to play, so... Yeah, we got to wrap this up. So, we're not even going to do we're just going to jump in. No, we're going to do a goodbye. But then that's it.
I thought that's what you're saying.
No, I don't know what I'm saying anymore. We're just going to go.
We're not going to do something.
Okay, so that's it. This has been episode 73. Thanks for listening. I hope you accept our gift of these two droids. And until next time, I have been your host, The Brant.
I am your co-host, Brian.
And we hope you step into the portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on December 14, 2017. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, visit www.dicetowernetwork.com. As always, thanks for listening. Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year.